the rest of the story. Once upon the summer of 1802, a young man retired to a peaceful country village and prepared to die. Many years tormented by mysterious illnesses and disappointed by a multitude of doctors, he reflected bitterly on the general misimpression of others that he was temperamental by nature, which he had become only as his condition worsened, that he was reclusive by choice, whereas chronic pain had obviated the human companionship that he would otherwise have cherished. After all, in earlier years, he'd been friendly and outgoing. Now he was withdrawing from the world, even considering suicide. And so it was in keeping with that spirit of hopelessness that the young fellow took pen in hand and made out his will, an anguished, almost apologetic document that history would later name for the little village in which it was composed, the Heiligenstadt Testament. The Heiligenstadt Testament. The young man, as it turned out, would not die for another 25 years. But my, oh my, how he did suffer through that interminable quarter century. Devastating headaches, paralyzing stomach aches, alternating debilitating constipation and diarrhea, abscesses, infections, bronchitis, pneumonia, irritability, depression, incoordination, mental lapses, and, oh yes, increasing deafness. For the unhappy inhabitant of that hell on earth, bequeathed to the rest of us glimpses of heaven. Through volumes of even now unrivaled musical masterworks, the incomparable creations of Ludwig van Beethoven. Through two centuries, history has portrayed him as a tortured genius. And yet, while that much is clear, you are about to hear the rest of the story. The great Beethoven desired two things with all of his heart: to compose music and to discover what was physically, medically wrong with him. In the latter concern, the science of his own era failed him utterly. So acknowledging that, Beethoven pleaded in his last testament for an autopsy after his death. Such was his last hope for the forgiveness of posterity. He was not an unpleasant fellow after all. He was merely unbearably suffering. It would take generations for doctors to prove that. For instance, the bony overgrowth observed postmortem, which closed those magnificent ears to the world, something we now call Paget's disease. The rest of it, those innumerable, unspeakable agonies Beethoven so bravely faced even as he died, without painkillers, by the way. We now unquestionably know what caused them. Lead poisoning. For scientists would discover 100 times the concentration of deadly lead in Beethoven's system, as commonly found in people today. 100 times, perhaps consumed through the lead-laden water at health spas, which he was known to frequent. Thus was his reputation redeemed from one of a neurotic composer to that of a valiant victim. And the world might never have realized had Beethoven not been adored for his music while he lived. For you see, the severe lead poisoning was diagnosed because ample samples of his hair were available. Hair, the analysis of which conclusively reveals heavy metal toxicity. And we've so much of Beethoven's brown and silver mane because grieving admirers lovingly clipped it and tearfully treasured it after he died. It is said that the great Beethoven went to his grave virtually bald. Yes, that is so. But now you know the rest of the story.